Hello there, and welcome to VIP Podcast, or VIP Bell to Bell Podcast. We're on about episode 180-something, might even be more than that, but it's good to be here again this week, and you know our regular there, John Evans, and our special guest this week, he's straight off the set in Walford. Don't know about what he knows about boxing, because he's an actor. It's Ian Bill from EastEnders. How are you, Ian?
I'm all right.
How's life in Walford? How's all them?
One time, right, I boxed in the Golden Contract the night before I boxed Lee Wood, and I stayed in, it was at Watford. I think it might be Watford, not far away. And I went down to see the studio, because it says it's in Walford, is it Walford? And I went down there, and there was nothing there. I thought it was going to be a square, but it must just be an acting studio inside. It was like a big, it was like units, big warehouses, but there's nothing there, you know. I thought it was going to be a real street.
Well, anyway, if you know Ian Bill, isn't Ian Bill, it's Jazza Dickens. Jazza, where are you in the world? Are you in Dubai or are you in Liverpool?
Yeah, Dubai.
So you're back in the gym, ready for your next assignment. Any news after the Zelfa Barrett win? What's next?
Yeah, something has come about, but I can't announce it yet because it's not out there. But hopefully something big fight comes along, yeah.
Good. Yeah, I know, Jack, you were waiting, weren't you? And a lot of people thought that Jazza Dickens came back against Zelfa that night. But you were telling me the other week, you never really went away, did you? It was just rediscovering what made you good all them years ago and digging it back out of the toolbox again.
Yeah, John, that's exactly what it was. And like, you know, lads, if you're not seeing someone on the telly or they're not active regular, then you just assume that they're doing that in a way somewhere in the corner, don't you? So that's just, that was the case.
Yeah. And before we crack on with the pod, the 6 3-minute rounds and non-stop boxing talk, Jazza, tell us the difference, or not difference, what Albert the trainer has done. I don't want to try and pronounce his surname, because I remember him at the old MGM gym in Marbella many moons ago when I was working for Box Nation. And even back then, I remember Derry Matthews telling me what a great trainer he was. And he was working with everyone in that gym. Even if he wasn't in the corner with them, he was working technical with them, helping them with bits. Your smile on your face says it all. Tell me what he's doing for you.
Yeah, well, I've been practicing on things. Eiter Petrian. Albert Eiter Petrian. So the proof's in the pudding, really, Steve. What maybe you've seen from the last few fights, which was nothing wrong with the coaching from the last few fights, but yeah, just like my style, just working with me. And I think that I don't believe there's any such thing as like saying of the universe, you know, like the people get saying of the year based on the accomplishments, something, but then again, like if they didn't have them fighters as well, it wouldn't work. So I just believe that a fighter and a trainer, it's a unique relationship, and there's not such best thing as the best trainer around, it's just the best trainer for that fighter, you know.
Yeah. Well, I say we'll crack on with the pod now. We 6 3-minute rounds, and after 3 minutes now, we do stop Jazza. John, you can hear the bell, and John stops us. He gets, you know, he's okay, but he'll stop you talking after 3 minutes.
Have we got a real bell yet, or is it still our old school bell?
It's like a real school bell.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll crack on. Are you ready to start timing, John?
Ready.
Round one, Jazza, you want to talk about the Turkey and Dana loving that rock boxing last week?
Yeah, I think it's unbelievable for boxing, and they're talking about a boxing league. I've always thought a boxing league would be amazing, and I've always got like these ideas and concepts, what it would be like. Would you have a league two? Would you have a league for 4-round fighters, which would then qualify after so many fights into league 6-round fighters, 8-round fighters? And would he be points disqualified if a fighter didn't take a fight and he avoided other fighters? Just how could or where? Could he have them all in every country? Could they then qualify and have a World Cup every year? I just think it's amazing. And I think that if you give one person the full control, obviously, if you get the full control, then it can't become corrupt, as the old saying goes. But I think that it's worth the risk, because it's not like Take Al Sheikh, he's in it for the money and he wants to take from boxing like everybody else does take from boxing. Long time since there's been someone like him who just wants to give to boxing. Obviously, it's a business for him, and he's obviously going to take out of it, but I think that he's just given to the sport, and I think he can be good for the sport. The only thing I do think about is, where does it lead to the promoters, which you wouldn't like to see top promoters just dwindle away because they're losing control of the big fighters. But then boxing's boxing, isn't it? And like, there'll always be some kind of promotional going on. So yeah, I think it's fantastic for boxing. And Dana White's got the recipe, hasn't he? Because he's monetized the full sport himself. So maybe, who knows, I think it can be good, and I think it's good to have an optimistic outlook. So yeah, what's your opinion, lads?
John?
Yeah, John. First off, I think Dana White is brilliant for it. I think most recognisable face in fight sports, and he approaches it in a completely different way. So he'll definitely bring more eyeballs, won't he? I'm just not sure how you can... this league has got to just be for the top guys, hasn't it? Because obviously Turkey's not going to get involved with area title levels and English title level fights. So I wonder how will that affect the domestic scene? You can't be expecting promoters to be spending all the money putting on English and British title fights and then not getting big fights as well as part of that. So I'm not sure how that'll work. But if it's just the weeks who can dip in and out and take fights as part of a promotional contract in this league, then yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, but you can see how messy it's going to become. There'll be guys under contract at the moment who can't jump into it. Is Dana going to do it like the UFC, where he takes fighters to the UFC from the other organisations, promoters? Is it going to work like that way? Look, I just think it's good for boxing. The people that are really worried about what happens to the other promoters are those of us in the trade: boxers, pundits, matchmakers, managers, journalists. The man in the street, I don't think they give a monkey who promotes a fight as long as it's the best. Round two, I'm carrying on from that theme, and just something I saw this morning, one champ, less weights, that sort of thing. I don't know how that would work with going back to eight weights, because you know what? If you can't say, have 126 as one division, and then 135 pounds. It's just ridiculous. And you know what I think that'll lead to? More fighters juicing to get up to these weights, who are naturally around 126, 130. So if they suddenly, if you had featherweight and then lightweight.
Yeah. What do you think, it'd involve people juicing to get up to the higher weight? Or do you think do you think it'd involve people doing drastic things to get to the lower weight, to make sure they were bigger and stronger?
But both ways, John. But the one that disturbs me, I mean, the drastic weight's worrying and what that could lead to, but also just as worrying is the amount of juicing that's going to go on. It's bad enough in boxing now.
Yeah, my weight class in the Olympic sports, I was on the GB team to go to me on towards the Olympics, and he took my weight class out, and he went from, remember, it was 51, 54, 57. And he went from 52 to 56, and it left a lot of fighters in the lurch, top fighters, good fighters who've been brought along for this weight category. They put the women's boxing in, great for the women's boxing, but then again, he took three weights out, and it was devastating for a lot of fighters. So I wouldn't like to see that happen, you know. And then you're less likely to see the unification fights, and you know, not the unification, it's the what do you call when two fighters, one goes
catch
up,
rate.
Yeah, catch weight fights and stuff like that. Yeah, so I never heard that before. I didn't know until you said it then, Steve.
It was just this morning, the interview that Dana White's done with ESPN, where he suggested it. Right. I mean, the one champion of division's fantastic, but it does really worries me.
UFC's got cut down weight classes, hasn't it? Maybe, Steve, maybe you won't look at combining them. Maybe this league will just involve those weight classes. So say,
possibly, yeah.
So say light middleweight still exists, but it's not part of a league. You know, because trying to run 17 consecutive leagues for all 17 weight classes is impossible, isn't it? So strawweight might be left out. So maybe when he says it'll just be certain weight classes, it means that they'll be the ones that are concentrated on.
And imagine the league format, the people, how they would get behind the fighters, and they get the social media around the fighters. Because you remember the contender, we loved them people, didn't we? So if they've done media around the league, you love and it'd be great, I think, for the characters of the fighters.
Steve, do you reckon there'd be half and half scarves?
Don't get me going on half and half scarves football. You know what? If I did 10 things I hate in the world, half and half scarves. I mean, I was walking through Manchester yesterday with my wife. and all these arse, chorus of half and half scarves. Didn't that bad was Arsenal or Man U? Oh, mate, you should have seen Manchester yesterday. A wash with half, four half and half scarves, and they were at Old Trafford. Anyway, round three, John Hergovic, he's facing Joe Joyce.
Yeah, Dillian White pulling out of his fight with Joe Joyce with his cut finger. Joe must have been sat by his phone wondering if he were going to get him. You know, what kind of late substitute are we going to get him? And all of a sudden, Filip Hergovic pops up. And I just thought, poor Joe. You know, talk about out of a frying pan into a fire there. Dillian's coming to the end of his career. Joe, he's at the end of his as well. But he might have seen a way to beat Dillian. All of a sudden, he's got Filip Hergovic with something to prove. And it's a real, real horrible night's work for Joe, that. You know, fingers crossed he's got something left in and he can do it, because I think we all like Joe, don't we? We'd all like to see him do well. But I think he's drawn a bit of a short straw here getting Hergovic.
You know what? When I saw that fight, look, I mean, obviously it's great. It's a great fight for the crowd in Manchester on the 5th of April. Great for TV. But, whoa, I know it, you know, unless Hergovic has been totally spent by the Dubois fight, which I don't think... It's almost as if they're bringing some... I can't see beyond Hergovic not beating Joe. And... but Joe's management have taken the fight, and I was a bit perplexed that they took that fight. Given, as you say, the Dillian fight, on Dillian's last fight, look, Joe's passed his best, Dillian's passed his best. On Dillian's last fight against the African, Emmanuel Tete, was it? Or Ebenezer Tete in Spain or Gibraltar, you'd be backing Joe, even though he's at the last platform himself to win. But Hergovic is a whole different, and he's got it all to prove and to get back into the title picture as well. Totally wrong for him.
Maybe I think that Joe's just in a position now where he says, if I'm never going to do it, I'll do it now. I'm not here for the money. It's a hard life to live. And maybe if I'm ever going to do something in the sport and ever going to win that world title, maybe just go for it now. Sometimes you should be in that position where you just want the answer. You know, am I good enough or not? Because if I can't beat Hergovic, I won't achieve my dream. So maybe he's in that boat, you know. Maybe he will get the answers either way.
Yeah, you're right, Jazza. Maybe he's just thought, right, this is it. You know, no more long training camps. If I take a gimme, it's another 8 months on my career. Let's just cut to the chase now. If, like you said, exactly, then if you can't beat Hergovic, you're not winning a world title, are you? So, yeah, maybe it's right, but all I can see is like a fired-up Hergovic coming in with something to prove and really giving him the business there, I'm afraid, for Joe.
Yeah, and Joe's not an easy fight for anyone else either, is he? So maybe Hergovic has just said the same. If I can't do it against him, then...
Round four, Jazza, and you're going to pay tribute to one of your fellow scousers, Tasha Jonas.
Tasha Jonas, we're so proud of her. She's done amazing in the sport, and it was a tough night for her, didn't it? And but you know, she's done amazing things in the sport, and I've seen on the line. What I'm really going on about here is the online haters. I don't know if you've seen it afterwards, like a lot of fighters having a go at a woman. It's crazy to me, like. Deserves nothing but honour and respect to hard working woman, and she just has an amazing sport. That's all I want to say, really, is that congratulations to Tasha, no matter what you do in the sport. I think the commentary and stuff like that, I think they all made it clear that they want to see her retire, but I don't know if she wants to retire herself. It's up to her, isn't it? But whatever she does do, I know that Liverpool and Britain will support her, and whatever she does next, I support 100%, whether she fights or not. But just like what an amazing career. You know, she's come back from some really low lows to then hit the highest highs. So I think that she has an amazing career. That's what I think, lads.
Staggering career. But you think, was it nearly 13 years ago, the Olympics? And she's gone on, you know, it was the girl that beat her. There was that massive, she got stopped in three rounds. I can't think of the name of the...
The Brazilian girl is in prison for life.
Brazilian, yeah. In three rounds, and she's just bounced back, done that. And what are they? She's still doing it even now at the highest level at 41 years of age. That's what astounds me. You know, and that was just a change of the guard the other night. What the year Natasha was in the Olympics. Lauren was boxing in the European Youth Championships, you know, just incredible. But no, great career, 41 years of age. I hope she retires now anyway.
Yeah.
Nothing to prove.
I remember I was following Tasha when she was... I remember getting a text when I was at work. We did a monthly diary in the build-up to a qualifying for the London Games. So all the way back in 2011. And I remember being at work getting a text saying she'd qualified in Finland. And for her to have reached what she's done now, it's insane. The tempting thing, Jazza, will be she could still go up to 154 pounds and win a world title.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. So she wants to fight. It's like, who's to stop her?
Yeah. Welterweight is difficult because Lauren, Sandy Ryan and Michaela Meyer are all good girls. But light middleweight in the female boxing, it's pretty thin, isn't it? She could easily go up and do that. So she'll have to have a battle with herself about whether to...
My mind more than anything, John. She's got a daughter as well, you know. And it's like if you've got you've got the kids for half an hour yourself, you just want to go for the training, just a bit of peace, don't you? She's like a mother and a boxer. It's crazy.
Yeah. Round five, big and excellent Queensbury show in Liverpool on Saturday. And the fight I'm looking forward to is Andrew Kane against Charlie Edwards. We were talking earlier on about the fight for Hergovic, Joe Joyce against Hergovic. This is a fight I feel that's just wrong for Charlie Edwards against Kane. Spiteful, nasty, fresher. And again, someone who's still got something to prove after his defeat against, was it Ion Bonnat, wasn't it? I just think very, very hard night for Charlie Edwards this weekend in the British and, is it British and Cup? British, is the European on the line as well? British and, yeah, a very hard night for him. And I've got a feeling this might be Andrew Kane's sort of breakout performance after he had that setback two or three fights ago.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I went to Great Britain team with Charlie, Steve, lads, and Charlie was a very dedicated fighter and I've always got on with Charlie, but like, I texted Charlie a while ago. He texted me saying, well done about me last fight. I said, Andrew's my girl's cousin, so I'm going to have to be on the fence of this one, lad. But like, I'll have to go team Andrew all the way because if not, I'll see him at his nan. You know, our kids are cousins and stuff like that. So Andrew Kane is a like unbelievable talent to see him coming through. As a kid, I was in the same gym as him and Peter McGrail. And just the talent inside him, it's unbelievable. And despite, as you say, that's genuine, you know. He's not faking when he puts this persona. It's not no persona, that's just Andrew, you know. He's Andrew, like, he's 100% Andrew. He's vicious, you know. So, yeah, I'll see his Nana Carroll with the belts on when he wins them. So, yeah, I just best of luck to both lads. But, yeah, Andrew's is family, you know. So, it's, yeah, best of luck to Andrew Kane.
Yeah, he's one of my favourites to watch in the country, Andrew Kane, when he's on. He's a brutal finisher, isn't he? Knockout power for a small guy. And I like him. And I know a lot of people, he gives off an intimidating aura, doesn't he? And
yeah,
when he carries himself. When he actually talks, Jazz will know, he's a great lad, he's funny. But he's just very, very intense. And when Andrew says something, he means it. He definitely means it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm looking forward to this week? Too many times now... The fighters, they may as well live with each other in the build-up to fights. We have to do so many head-to-heads and so many press conferences. These two haven't laid eyes on each other because Kane didn't turn up to the press conference.
Yeah.
On Thursday, Kane and Edwards are going to come together in Liverpool. And believe me, by the end of Thursday night, more people will be looking forward to this than Nick Ball.
Go on, sorry.
No, when he gets into his flow as well, when Andrew's in his flow, I've always seen this since a kid, he gets into his flow. You just, as a boxing fan, you start laughing. It's so pretty to watch, you know. It's an unbelievable talent. Like, on Thursday.
Sixth and final round. John Evans, a fight you mentioned a lot on here. Dalton Smith and Adam Aziz.
Yeah, what's it going to take for this fight to happen? You know, Dalton's been announced... He's keeping busy, which I'm pleased about. He's fighting a Canadian who, I'm not going to lie, we're supposed to know everything on here, but I've never heard of the guy. But it's good that Dalton's ticking over. Adam Azim won Young Boxer of the Year a couple of weeks ago. I don't think Adam's got anything scheduled at the moment. But Dalton's been moved to a 2,500-seat arena. Both sides are saying this fight's not going to happen because the money's not there. Well, if at this stage of Dalton's career he's going into a 2,500 arena with a big undercard,
yeah,
when is the money ever going to be there? They keep talking about Hillsborough Stadium. God, what are they going to do? You know, are they going to do it in the dugout, in front of the dugouts? This is going to take two both fighters to win world titles for it to be a major unification fight, for it to do any number of tickets at the moment. And I just wonder if they both need each other more than we think. Do they both need each other to become a star, to sell the tickets? Because this moving in parallel, it's just not, it's not working for either person at the moment.
Well, or the other way, John, is for both of them to, you know, show a bit of grit and say, look, it's just the only fight I want to their people, because there's not even, you know, usually we've been getting these great fights lately, fights that weren't expected happening. This one, John, when you, I saw you earlier on, this was your topic, there's not even a sniff of it happening, is there? There's you talk a lot on the pod about wanting to happen. There's not even a glimmer of it happening, is there? So I don't see where it's suddenly going to come from. Because obviously both sides, it seems to me, are keeping the other from each other.
I want to play devil's advocate, lads, and talk from experience against me in my fight against Kid Galahad. Someone you both know, we can fight at the world title stage, or we can fight at British level stage. He had to Gale and Groves, and he went on to fight for world titles. In my situation, I lost, and we both offer young fighter of the year, similar circumstances. I accept the fight with Kid Galahad at English title level, and they were smart enough to say, no, we'll do it for English title. So maybe they both believe that we're not fighting for the business title. We're both going to win a world title. So what do you want us to do? Just one of us lose, or we can rack up our points and we'll fight for a world title. I don't know what they're going to do, lads, but like, sometimes the business does outweigh the love of the fans for some fighters. Some fighters like to be admired by the fans, and that's why they take their fights. So it's case by case scenario, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's almost, you know, and it's not the end of the road for either by any stretch. It's almost as if they're being wrapped in this cotton wool. Gosh, you lose that fight, the investment's gone.
Yeah. I just think.
Gone, Jonathan.
It's the last round, isn't it? I just think that the way these people are talking now, even if Dalton Smith wins a world title and Adam Azim wins a world title, there's still not going to be the money available because neither of them have been able to become a star. Neither of them sell the amount of tickets that's going to generate the money to pay them what they want. Yeah. Something's going to have to give at some point.
I think what is a factor as well, lads, it's become so brutal if you take a loss from a promotional standpoint.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So maybe that doesn't allow them to make that decision, you know what I mean? Because it is a big risk for both fighters. But the way, like, you're losing, you're out like that, that can be a bad thing as well, not worth the risk sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Are we going to see him? It could be one of these fights we never get, or when we do, it's 3 years too late, John. You know, let's hope, but there's not a glimmer.
Dalton Smith's the real deal, in my opinion.
When he first came pro, at one stage, we have had about 5-6 fights. I thought he's one of the best fighters in the world under 10 fights.
Yeah, he's outstanding. But Azim is as well. It's the perfect fight. And I just hope it happens at what? Well, I tell you what, and let's agree that let's hope it happens at 140. It might be another 18 months down the line. But if these two both move up to 147, I don't think it'd be the same. It's as long as it happens at 140, I'll be happy.
Yeah. Would you accept it like a Khan and Brook situation? Or would you not have that?
It's too far down the line, that doesn't it? Too far down that. I remember when you boxed Galahad. I was there, Jazza, when you boxed Galahad the first time.
First time, man.
First one. I was at the second one.
Heartbreak.
I was at the second one, sure. Yeah.
I can't remember. I can't remember either of them, lads.
Hey, I tell you what, though. You talk of people protecting the zero. You haven't done too bad for some of them.
I've lost about 15 fights, that's why.
Yeah, you lost five, isn't it? Five. Not bad, mate. You've done all right for yourself.
Yeah.
Still going strong. Anyway, thanks for joining us this week, Jazza. Thank you as always, John Evans. Sorry I might have sounded like I'm in some Bulgarian TV studio, but I'm not. Thanks, everyone, for watching or listening. And hope my sound doesn't spoil your viewing or listening. Thanks very much. See you next week.